One of the inevitablest private miseries is this multitudinous efflux of oratory and psalmody from the universal foolish human throat, drowning for the moment all reflection whatsoever, except the sorrowful one that you are fallen in an evil, heavy-laden, long-eared age, and must resignedly bear your part in the same. Thomas Carlyle, 1850. Hi, folks, it's Ron here, your compadre. Feels like it's been a week since we got together and shot the shit. And I bet you're curious as to what I've been up to. I mean, I know you've been thinking about me, especially you, mysterious caller. Yep, you, the one who's been leaving me all those voice messages on my home line. Listen to me, you heavy-breathing creep. I like you. Keep calling, it's nice. Anyway, I do have to announce that since last week, I am no longer recording this podcast with my former co-host, Carolina. We've decided it's not going to work. The chemistry was just never there. And
hey, sorry, I just got back with your
car. No,
dark to no milk.
Hey, Carolina.
Hey, wait, are you guys recording? You didn't wait for me?
Did you check your phone recently? Your voicemail?
Did you leave me a dream voicemail again? I stopped listening to those.
You stopped listening to my dream voicemails?
They're really long, and I always get them at like 3 a.m.
Whatever, that's besides the point. I left you another voicemail.
Okay, let me listen. 1 second. What does this say?
Hello? Okay, Carolina. It's Ron. Grab a pen. In my dream, I was in a cabin in the woods, and it was made out of moss. I realized that I had a friend who was a pregnant minotaur. She needed help giving birth, so I was her doula, and I helped her give birth to a little baby minotaur. And then I woke up, which is just right now. I just woke up. Do me a favor. Give me 500 words on the meaning of this dream by 5 p.m. today. Thank you.
Okay, I think that was one of my dream voicemails.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think so too. Okay. I just got this one.
Yes.
Hey, Carolina, it's Ron. Just driving into the studio. Traffic is terrible. How do you like working on the podcast? This is our third season, huh? Pretty cool. Pretty crazy stuff. What a ride, huh? Time has gone by. You're fired.
Wait, what?
Siri, call 7-Eleven.
Wait.
Siri. It's Ron Burgundy. I'm on my way, and I need a big gulp waiting. Siri, execute my command.
Okay, you can stop playing
What's
that
going
now.
On?
Just stop. You can stop it.
When did you leave that message? Ron. Ron. No, don't get under that desk. Ron, get out from under the desk.
No, I'm just tying my shoes.
No, you're not. You're covering your ears.
2 more minutes.
No. Get out from under the desk.
Okay.
I'm an adult man. I'm an adult man.
Why are you saying that?
That's my pump-up speech.
I'm sorry, why are you firing me? Is it because you saw me wearing those individual toe shoes?
Oh, don't remind me of
I
that
just
freak
come
show.
From rock climbing class. Ugh.
You know each of your toes could get a job by joining the circus. That's how freaky they look.
Great, thanks.
But listen to me. You yourself could have 10 jobs. You don't need this one.
Because I have 10 toes?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Great.
Look, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've hired a new correspondent.
Are you serious? Who? Who is it?
I think it's pronounced Lucci. Lucci Jones.
That's Lucy Jones?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, that's Lucy Jones is actually a big deal.
Well, that's Dr. Lucy Jones to you, Missy. Let me ask you this, Carolina. Where did you get your doctorate?
You know I don't have a doctorate. But to be completely fair, you don't have one either.
No, that kind of filthy language is exactly why I'm hiring Lucy. Dr. Lucy.
I didn't say anything filthy. You don't have a doctorate.
We'll have to bleep that out, Nick. What Carolina just said?
You don't have a doctorate degree.
I don't remember getting one. That's different. than not having one.
Oh, my God.
Please stay tuned, folks. After all, it is Carolina's last show. Last public broadcast of her entire life.
That's excessive.
We'll be right back with my new co-host, Dr. Lucy Jones. Lucy. Lucy Jones. It's going to take me a while to get that nailed down. Welcome back to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. We are joined today by the inimitable, world-renowned seismologist, Dr. Lucy Jones. Dr. Lucy, how would you like to be addressed?
I'm happy with just Lucy, but when you feel the need to remember I know more about earthquakes, Dr. Jones works too.
Okay. Oh, Dr. Jones. Right. Or Lucy.
Or Lucy.
Well, I'm just going to go with Lucy.
Go for it.
If that's fine.
That's fine.
Caroline, are you good with it?
I'm great with Lucy.
Yes. Let me just start by asking, do you remember your first earthquake?
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I was 2 years old, and we were living in Ventura.
Right.
And the earthquake started, we were all in the living room, and my mother gathered up us kids into the hallway and sort of crouched over us, got us to cover our heads, and she put her body over us to keep us safe.
And later where you're like, Mom, you didn't need to do that.
No, actually, we were all a little bit scared.
A little freaked out.
It was over a magnitude 5, and it was nearby. And the other thing I remember is our cat screaming.
Okay.
Siamese cat yowls.
Yes.
Remind me of earthquakes, because they jumped off the TV thinking it was the TV that was moving. Things kept on moving, and they freaked out. They started screaming, and they would never get on the TV again.
Did the Siamese cats start screaming before the earthquake? Because sometimes they say animals can sense when something's about to happen.
Okay. They didn't that I remember. I was, of course, only 2 years old. The one thing is that the earthquake comes in with multiple waves, and the first one is often smaller than the second one. So the more sensitive animals might feel the first one, and the less sensitive humans only feel the second one. So a few seconds before, the animal sometimes will jump up, and it looks like they knew the earthquake was coming. They're just feeling the beginning that us less sensitive people missed.
Sometimes, because a lot of people think I'm overly sensitive, and I have a sensation that an earthquake is about to, and I'll just start screaming, earthquake, here it comes.
That's rarely been
and
accurate.
And I've never predicted one. But in that moment, I feel like it's happening. And I probably should just keep my mouth shut.
Probably. There's a lot of people who do think it. We kept a file at the U.S. Geological Survey of predictions that people sent us.
Okay.
And we refused to act on them, and because we said we get a lot of them. We would get about one a week.
Oh, so you'd have like a hotline.
We accepted mail and we kept it on file. There were some people who called. There was somebody who faxed us each day with an outline of the slug trails from her driveway, and she would try to predict what earthquakes were going to happen from those pictures.
Carolina, that sounds like something you would do.
It wasn't me, no.
Really?
I promise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting behavior.
Interesting behavior. Actually, the slug trails, I think, were back in the 90s, so Caroline would.
Oh, yeah, would be.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I need to take this.
We're in the middle of a show.
Yeah.
Run.
Hello? Hi. Oh, do you want me to put you on speaker? Okay. Hold on. Carolina, how do I make the speaker phone work on this?
Are you serious? We told you. Is this real?
Hello? Run? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine, Sia. The international pop singer who was recently a guest on the show, who I went on a date with.
Ron,
you?
This is insane.
Sia, how's Dubai? I miss you so much.
Oh, Ron, I miss you too. Do you think you can fly out after you've done taping the podcast? I'll have David's assistant get you a ticket. I just missed you so much.
I miss you too, Sia Bear. Carolina, can we move some things around so I can go meet Sia in Dubai this weekend. She misses me.
Oh, iHeart will flip out. We really can't. Sia, are you really dating Ron? I need to, what's going on?
Well, I guess the secret is out now. Thanks to cutting out privacy, Carolina.
Oh, I didn't mean to invade your privacy. Ron put you on speakerphone while we're taping the show, so it just sort of naturally, do you want us to edit it out?
No, we don't need to do that. Do we, sweetheart?
No, I mean, it's going to come out anyway, I'd say. The truth is, Ron and I have really fallen for each other.
Wow, I'm just, this is surprising.
Wow, Ronnie, Carolina really is as big of a judgmental idiot as you said she was.
Yep. Oh my God, you told C I was a judgmental idiot?
Carolina, don't be jealous of our blossoming relationship, okay? Jeez. Sia Bear, listen, I will be on the next flight to Dubai. I miss you terribly. I don't feel complete without you near me.
You're so sweet.
Don't you think this is moving a little fast?
Carolina, jealousy is not a good look on you.
I'm not jealous, Sia.
You're a little jealous, Carolina. We all can see it.
Ron, I have a sound check. David's assistant will make all the arrangements, okay? I'll see you soon, Ronnie.
Goodbye, Sia Bear.
Bye, Ronnie Bear.
Okay, Dr. Lucy, let me ask you this. Do you think when Rihanna drops her next album, there'll probably be another earthquake?
No, I don't think the Earth knows what we're Rihanna's up to.
She is incredibly popular pop singer. And
we have been waiting for her next album.
We really have.
I will say, I mean, there could be vibrations if enough people jumped up and down.
Oh.
Right? But they once recorded the vibrations created at the Kingdom, at the Seattle football stadium,
okay,
with a touchdown.
Right.
And the total energy was equivalent to about a magnitude 1.5 to 2.
Pretty impressive.
Right.
That a bunch of people could do that.
Yes.
So, gosh. If I was in Rihanna's camp, I'd try to get a stadium full of people to break that record when her album drops.
And you could hire some seismologists to bring out the seismic recording devices.
And that'd be fun for the seismologists, I think.
Actually, it was. They used that data to understand how waves travel through certain types of soils that were there under the stadium. So it was actually used for a scientific paper.
I remember, and I'm dating myself, when Cisco's album dropped, there was zero seismic activity.
Okay.
That's just a fun fact. Because we get a lot of people writing in about Cisco.
Yeah.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
The thong song.
The thong song. Speaking of which, you should always have a thong by your nightside table in case an earthquake hits. Would you recommend that?
That hasn't been on my list.
Okay.
I include
underwear, some sort of undergarment.
We had a number of people who ran outside in the Northridge earthquakes without stopping to clothe.
Okay.
So people who were very frightened.
Yes.
Personally, I keep a pair of shoes tied to the pole of my bed.
What's in your earthquake bag? Your jump bag?
I don't have a jump bag.
You don't have a jump bag.
Because I'm not going to predict the earthquake. They really are unpredictable.
Yes.
And that means we don't know when it's coming, so it's not time you have to evacuate. I make sure that my house has been reinforced, so I'm not going to have to leave it. And then I keep supplies in my house.
Gotcha. In my bag, I've got charcoal, a hibachi grill. I've got 10 porterhouse steaks. They're Omaha steaks. They're really good. That I got to keep on dry ice to keep them perpetually frozen. I've got Campbell's Chunky Soup.
Mm-hmm.
I never pack a can opener, though.
You have to do that. You got to do that.
I've got some glow sticks that you'd use it like a rave.
They could be helpful when there's no electricity. Watch out about that hibachi grill, though, because there will be aftershocks. So we try to recommend light sources and heating sources that don't involve open flames so you don't set off fires.
Okay. Let me write that down. I've also got 2 tickets to a Raiders game that I went to. Just as comforting piece of memorabilia.
That's one of the things we recommend, especially in schools, is what we call comfort bags. Mm-hmm. And because people do regress to a younger age under the stress of the earthquake. Mm.
Okay, so people actually go back to a childlike state.
Well, or you'll have children who had given up their stuffed toys go back to them. And so, like putting an old stuffed toy in a place where your child, don't give it away, have it ready in case they need it after the earthquake.
Need it after the earthquake.
We have a book of pictures of Ron in happier times whenever he's in a bad mood that we ask him to just look through.
And that's kind of a piece of information I didn't really want you to talk about.
Oh, okay.
But
sorry.
But yes, we have that.
And you'll probably want it after the earthquake.
I'll probably want to peruse it, right. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Lucy, can you tell me about climate change in the least scary way possible? Because I don't want to be scared or nervous, so maybe speak slowly. And okay. And Carolina, if you could intersperse her answer, Lucy's answer, with some of my favorite phrases.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Climate change is real.
Mm-hmm. Cow goes moo.
Human activity is increasing carbon dioxide, and that's increasing the heat. And increased heat means we're going to have increased storms.
Cat goes meow.
Thank you.
And in general, we're going to have a lot of disruption so that it's going to be hard. There are going to be a lot of people who will have to choose between moving where they've always lived or dying. And so they're going to move.
Bird goes chirp, chirp, chirp.
Okay.
Train goes choo-choo.
And we can change it. We can't change it alone. What you do by yourself,
right.
Whether, you know, drive a Prius, it's a good thing, but it's not going to make a big enough difference. Mm. But we can do it together.
Mm-hmm.
We could decide that this mattered to us, and we are going to say vote for people who will actually take action on climate change.
Wait, and what does Teddy Bear say?
Hi, Ron.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for breaking it down, and thank you, Carolina.
Sure, I've got your back.
I'll just say
the path a little more gentle.
There's no point in worrying about earthquakes if we don't deal with climate change, because if we don't deal with it, it will be a lot worse than anything an earthquake could do. Mm.
What can earthquakes teach us about climate change, or are they
scientifically, physically?
Yes. They're not.
They're connected. Not related. The earthquakes happen too far down in the earth. And the climate change is all happening here in the atmosphere.
Mm.
Right? They can teach us how people socially react to hazards. And they show us that people really need to feel that something is affecting them personally and happening right now to be worth doing something about. So actually what's happening with climate change, with all the extra fires and the various disruption we're seeing really obviously now,
yes,
is making it easier for people to grapple with the problem. And we need concrete examples. It's like knowing there's theoretically going to be some earthquake, right? But seeing the hospital that you were born in now so badly damaged, it's partially collapsed, now it's real, we got to do something about it.
And the fact that I just wet my pants is a good sign that what you're saying is having an effect on me.
Okay.
It happens. It happens regardless, so don't even worry about it.
Okay. Okay.
The LA Times called you the Beyonce of earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a compliment.
I think so, yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah. And I've been called the Robert Redford of...
Of what?
Just of. No one finishes it. It's just dot, dot, dot.
And how many times has this happened?
That I know of?
Yeah.
One.
Okay,
once.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Just trying to.
Just did it.
Yeah.
Sure. That's fine.
Just trying to get into the same category.
Sure.
That Lucy's in.
Yeah. I get it.
I wonder if Beyonce's ever been called the Dr. Lucy.
Of music. Of, yeah.
Yes. Of music.
I saw a tweet to that effect, but I don't think it got out very far.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What if we had behind this door Beyonce herself? Wouldn't that be great?
It would be.
Do we have her?
No.
We
didn't get her.
Sometimes I just say things and I hope they're going to happen, and usually they don't.
Oh.
That's the way this show happens. You once said that scientific culture was driven by toxic masculinity. Was that directed at me?
No, I don't believe you've ever written a research paper.
Oh, yes, I have. My office is piled with research papers that I've written and have yet to be published.
It's a lot of drawings.
Most of them are drawings.
It's actually about the publishing process, where we necessarily ask our competitor to criticize our work, because we know the easiest person to fool is ourself.
Mm.
And therefore, we set up this peer review process by which we get the most critical people possible.
I already don't like it. I would crumble.
Well, there are people who crumble. There's a bunch of people who get their PhD and go, but this isn't the sort of human being I want to be.
Right.
But also, it doesn't have to be cruel. And but some people just make it that way.
But if you have a research paper in the peer review process and then it's your time to be part of the peer review of them, you're like, I'm going to nail Dr. Tony, you know, Anderson here because he was so mean to me, right? It's tit for tat.
It happens.
Okay.
It's not healthy.
Right.
It's not the good part of science. We have to have that peer review criticism, but we don't have to be jerks about it. But sometimes we are. But it's really important because that's part of the validity of the process.
It's the honest approach.
Right. And that's what people don't understand about science. They think we can like, you know, we're saying that because it gets us funding or something. But we've got this whole process to find our mistakes.
Well,
and if somebody were able to disprove climate change, they would be
they'd do it in a heartbeat, wouldn't they?
They'd be so famous.
But they're dirty, conniving scientists. They're money-grubbing scientists. That's why they got into it.
Oh,
that's why you got into it, right?
Because we make so much money.
Yep. So you could have your vacation home.
Yeah, go look up. Yeah,
look up. Maui.
I wish. No, you don't get that sort of money out of science.
So, Lucy, let me just ask you, would you be my co-host? I'm firing Carolina.
Absolutely not.
Let me check that off. Maybe I'll come back to you later with that question.
And we need to still discuss what happened.
We need
earlier.
To discuss what?
The what? Firing is a little, it seems excessive. It seems random. It seems hurtful. Mm-hmm. I need my notice.
Well, I was going to give you notice. Or you were going to give me notice.
No, you need.
How does it happen?
I just need a, I need a second. You can't just kick me out of the studio.
Okay, let's table this for
all
now.
Right, sorry. I'm sorry.
We can, let's do a retraction and.
Yeah, you're really proud of that moment.
It's one of my finest podcast moments / journalist moments ever that I was able to supply you with the word retraction.
And I appreciated it.
Lucy, what are some of the scientific movements that are inspiring you right now?
I talked a bit about it earlier, and it's a change in attitude among scientists. Because this whole process of figuring out what truth is so demanding and so meticulous, we tend to put all our efforts into it. And we have said using the science is somebody else's job.
Right.
Right. But, and then because really, I think part because of climate change and we're seeing what happens when the science doesn't get used.
Whose job is it?
Exactly.
Oh.
Right? We give the job to someone who doesn't actually understand what we're doing.
But whose job is it?
It should be some of the scientists who really understand what the results are need to help translate it. Mm. And we are now seeing, especially among the younger generation of scientists, people taking on that responsibility.
We need a council of like the Super Friends.
What are Super Friends?
Wasn't that an animated show? Nick, do you remember?
He's shaking his head no.
It was like all the superheroes, and they were a big council.
Like the Avengers. Not at all?
Okay. Not at all.
Seems very similar.
Okay. We need more than just a few people. We need the scientific community to say, this is part of our job, not just determining what's true, but helping other people understand what's true.
Through song?
If necessary, but a lot of it is through education. It's like, you know, you get taught something in high school. That's the science that was understood when you were in high school. There's been a lot of work done in the last 30 years.
It has evolved. Some of the interpretations.
Well, and lots of fundamental facts that we now understand differently. And
like the Earth is flat. We now know the Earth is flat.
Actually, no. We know the Earth
we
is flat.
We still think it's round.
We are sure it's round.
But that's changing.
No.
Through song.
No.
Oh.
Okay. The earth is round.
Yep.
Take it. The earth is round. But there's some other things like
James Harden.
You know, that climate change is real, right? And what's the science that shows that? that wasn't taught when a lot of the people making decisions were in high school.
Right.
And they don't understand. They don't get it. So why aren't we doing a better job of explaining that?
You can't teach an old dog new tricks, but we better teach that old dog some new tricks, or that old dog's going to be...
Is this a song?
Gnawing on its own leg.
Right.
And that is the song, all right, to help.
Science isn't just for scientists. We all need to be able to use this information.
Back to Earthquake Kit. I have also a big gulp cup from 7-Eleven in there, and I have a lock of my own hair to remind me of me. And I have a knife. Are those good things, too? I guess it's subjective.
It's subjective, just what you want. If whatever is going to remind you of a good place and keep you psychologically grounded is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Knives are not something that disappear because of earthquakes. So,
okay. Right? So there won't
be... Electricity disappears because of earthquakes.
If there's an earthquake, there won't be a run on knives.
I doubt it.
Good to know. I was told the best place to stand during an earthquake is at a pool party or a Blink 182 concert, if you can find one. What do you think?
I actually hope I'm not in a concert with a lot of people around me when an earthquake happens, because I think that will be a place to exacerbate fear.
So that's some of the old science, which we used to be just be with good friends, good drinks, good music going.
Good solid tables.
Okay.
Okay. I like to get under a table.
Oak. Maple.
But glass. Right?
I only have glass tables in my apartment.
Nothing
but.
Because
I got to switch those out.
What you want to do is have a place where you can protect yourself from flying objects. And a flying object hitting a glass table might just make more flying objects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas an oak table keeps it from hitting you.
So all of those garbage bags full of shards of glass I have.
You will have after the earthquake?
No, I currently have, I should get rid of.
They aren't going to help you.
Okay.
They're seed glass, but it's just broken window glass.
NASA, do we like them?
Sure. They have a lot of scientists.
Okay.
Science is good.
How much money do you make a year?
Inappropriate.
Okay,
inappropriate.
Strike that from the record. Let's redact it.
Less than you.
Did you health and dental? Did you get health and dental?
Oh, from the government. That's one thing they do well.
That was good. Pretty good health and dental.
Yep, yep.
Well, that's good to know.
Government takes care of you in that way.
But now you're retired now.
I completed my federal service and moved on to a nonprofit to give myself more leeway of discussing things like climate change and hazards beyond just earthquakes.
Did they give you a gold watch? Any sort of parting gifts?
I have a big gold medal, actually, the Distinguished Medal Award from the Department of the Interior.
Don't get too excited.
Can we see? Did you bring it?
No,
I didn't bring it.
Oh, maybe next time.
Okay.
So back to this subject of co-hosting. I would love to hire you.
She said no.
Can I finish, please?
Okay.
The pay is not great. And please note that I was upfront about that. I do call a lot. Meaning I call you on the phone sometimes in the middle of the night with ideas that come to me in my dreams, but not every day, but most days. And lunch is free. I'm feeling it. It's a maybe.
I am completely engaged with my current work in communicating hazards in the natural environment from disasters and helping people cope. So I think I want to stick with what I'm doing now.
So I'm going to get your personal information and I'll call you tomorrow.
No.
You don't have to worry about that.
Thank you. Okay. Did not go the way that I planned, but that could be the subject for another one of my research papers that I have in my study.
That you didn't get what you wanted?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Dr. Lucy Jones, Caroline. I'm trying to sound impressive. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Lucy. I am honored that you seriously considered being my co-host.
She didn't.
And I am hurt that you declined.
Well, thank you for having me today and giving me the opportunity to talk about earthquake hazards. And that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Excellent. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. It's Ron, and, well, I gave Carolina her one-day notice, and she decided to leave early today. I'm not going to lie. Feels a little quiet in here, a little scary, and a little sad. Feels like an earthquake has hit behind my eyeballs, and a tsunami may fall out of them.
Hey, sorry, I just was about to leave. I was in the parking lot, and you left your keys in your car door.
Oh.
And your music blasting, and there was a briefcase full of cash open on the passenger side. You know, about just dollars were just flying out the window.
Carolina, please come back.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I got your last voicemail. This one?
Carolina! I'm sorry! I'm so sorry!
How do you shut this f***ing thing off?
I have one stipulation.
As long as it's not about money or airtime.
I want to eat lunch with you in the studio. I don't want to eat it at the bus stop on the corner anymore.
Okay, well, that's only because I watched you eat a Reuben sandwich one afternoon and it felt like I was at war for 2 years. It felt like the movie 1917. Didn't I leave you a nightmare voicemail about it?
This one, yeah.
Oh, Carolina, it's Ron. I had the worst nightmare. Please grab a pen, jot this down. You were eating a Reuben sandwich and children were crying. People were running around. It was like an Irwin Allen movie. Food was falling from your mouth. You looked like a grotesque gargoyle. And you didn't grab a napkin, of course. There was mustard and sauerkraut flying around. It was like the end of Pompeii.
That was a scary one.
No more Rubens. I get it.
All right, folks. Well, Ron Burgundy here, signing off with his co-host, Carolina.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Catch you next time. Maybe with a cooler co-host.
Okay.
That was just a joke.
Okay.
I'm so thankful you came back.
Honestly. Sweet.
The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producer is Nick Stump. Our talent coordinator is Anna Hosnier. Our writers are Andrew Steele and Jake Fogelnest. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stump. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.